Hi there, this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast. I'd like to thank you for joining me today, as today we're going to look at the important subject of righteousness by faith. This is a most important key to Christianity and to the grace of God towards his people. It's by God declaring people righteous when they have faith that he's prepared to help us to then overcome. And it's by faith in the resurrection of Jesus that we have the opportunity for life. So let's get right into this subject, and we'll have a quick look at the three key points that I want to pull out of this. There'll be more, but there's three key points that I want to actually emphasise. The first one is we cannot do anything to receive righteousness, and this especially includes keeping the law. We are not righteous by keeping the law. I mean, it's an important thing we have to do to be able to live in accordance with the law, but we don't keep the law because we will find out, perhaps not today, but we certainly will find out another one, that we've been set free from the law. The second point is righteousness is a free gift from God to everyone who believes that God raised Jesus from the dead. You can't take it. You can't buy it. It's a free gift. And the third thing is that we receive this free gift of righteousness as soon as we believe. And that's an important point. Now, the first scripture I want to have a look at is in Romans chapter 10, and I'm looking at verses 1 to 13. And it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." And this is Paul talking about his fellow Israelites and Jews. Verse 2, "I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but it is not enlightened." And this is a situation that everyone finds who comes to God but doesn't understand or doesn't come through Jesus Christ. They have a zeal. There are many people who have a real strong passion and desire to please the Lord, but if they haven't understood the truth of the gospel, which is freedom, and haven't received the free gift of righteousness, then they too are unenlightened. Verse 3, "For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." Now, here's the key. People in those days and people today also are trying to establish their own righteousness. They're trying to say, "I'm doing good. I've got to do good. And if I do good, therefore I'm righteous." But we know that nobody can do good apart from God. And even in God, it's next to impossible to do good 100% of the time. Jesus was the only one who ever achieved that, and he was the Son of God. And so when people try to establish their own righteousness, they're not really establishing or receiving the righteousness that comes from God. They're basically trying to be self-righteous, and that's not a good place to be either. And in verse 4, we see, "For Christ is the end of the law, that everyone who has faith may be justified." Now, these Jews were trying to be righteous under the law. They were trying to say, "Well, if I keep the law, then I'll be righteous, you know, I'll be right." But he's saying here that no, it's everyone who has faith is justified. And to be justified means to be made righteous. So Christ is the end of the law. Now, we see this even today. We see people out there in churches who will fast on a regular basis. They pay tithes. They do good deeds and all this sort of stuff under the law. You know, some of them, they won't eat food that's considered unclean under the law, like pork and ham and shellfish and stuff like that. And they won't wear mixed garments and a whole bunch of things because they are trying to keep the law and they believe that by doing that, they are righteous. Now, Jesus upbraided the scribes and Pharisees because that's what they were doing. They were saying, "Well, look at me, you know, I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get." This is what Jesus said to one of the Pharisees, or said about one of the Pharisees. And of course he said, no, that's not going to commend you to God. So we go on. So Christ is the end of the law, that everyone who has faith may be justified. Now, we have to believe. What we have to believe, and I'll tell you this up front, we have to believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, that he died, that he was resurrected, and that by this means we have been declared righteous by God. Verse 5 goes on in Romans 10. Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law shall live by it. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now here is a very, very interesting scripture, interesting verse, because he's saying, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and most Christians will say, Jesus is Lord. They believe that he is the Lord. They accept that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Lord. So that's the first part of it. And then if they believe in your heart, which is what it says there in verse 9, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and that's the second thing we have to believe. We have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead in your heart. This isn't something that you just say. You don't just say, oh, yeah, well, you know, God raised Jesus from the dead. And that's the last you think about. You have to believe it in your heart. It has to be part of who you are. You believe in your heart. You confess Jesus is Lord. You believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. And if you do those two things, you will be saved. Now, that's pretty incredible when you stop and think about it. That's all a person needs to do to receive salvation. And it goes on in verse 10. It says, for man believes with his heart, and so is justified. So when you believe, that is when you have faith in your heart and you believe it wholeheartedly, then you are justified. You are made righteous. And he confesses with his lips and so is saved. So these two things, confessing that Jesus is Lord, believing that God raised him from the dead, this is the essence of salvation. You want to be saved? Then confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will have salvation. That's what the scripture here is telling us. Verse 11, it goes on and says, the scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and bestows his riches upon all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the core of salvation. You know, you don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to go and get a degree in theology or a doctorate of divinity and all of these things. You don't have to go to a Bible college and do Bible study courses to be saved. This is what you do to be saved. Your salvation is based upon confessing that Jesus is Lord and believing that God raised him from the dead. That is the key. That is the core of it. Now, we go on from there, and we see over in Romans chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, it says this, but the free gift is not like the trespass. And what he's talking about here is the free gift of righteousness from God. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the effect of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. He's talking about Adam and Eve here, of course. The judgment following that one trespass when they disobeyed God, disobeyed his commandment not to eat from the tree. The judgment following that one trespass brought condemnation for all men. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. The free gift brings righteousness, which is what justification is. And verse 17 says, if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Now, how do we receive this abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness? Well, we saw in that last scripture, all you had to do was confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will receive this free gift of righteousness by faith and through faith. Now, going over into Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading this time from verse 19 down to 31. So Romans 3:19, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Now, this is an interesting point. I'm a little bit off track, but the whole world will be held accountable to God on the basis of what is written in God's law. There is a way out of that through Jesus Christ, but this is how God is going to judge the world. And the whole world may be held accountable to God. Verse 20, for no human being will be justified, that is to be made righteous, in his sight by works of law, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So this is how we receive this righteousness. It's not part of the law. It's not about the law. It's not about keeping the law. The law is about judgment. But the righteousness of God that has been manifested apart from law is about freedom. It's about freedom from law. It's about freedom from judgment. And in fact, the next session that I'm going to do after this one on righteousness by faith is all about the freedom that we receive from God. So stay tuned for that one. I go on in verse 22 where it says, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, and of course to believe is to have faith, for there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And every man on earth, the only person who never sinned and fell short of the glory of God, is Jesus Christ. As for the rest of us, well, we're all in that same bucket. But these ones, in verse 24 says, they are justified or made righteous by his grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And what is that redemption? It's believing in the resurrection that God enabled, or that God did, in Christ Jesus. When he was put to death, God raised him from the dead. That's what we believe. And we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. They are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and he justifies, or he makes righteous, him who has faith in Jesus. Here we are again, saying the same thing again. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On the principle of works? No, but on the principle of faith. For we hold that a man is justified by faith apart from works of law. How are we justified by faith? Got nothing to do with the law. Doesn't matter how much you tithe, doesn't matter how much you fast, doesn't matter how much you don't eat pork and ham and all those other things, or wear garments made of mixed fibres, or any of the other 650 plus laws in the Old Testament, doesn't matter about any of those, you are justified or you are made righteous by faith, apart from the works of law. Verse 29, he goes on, he says, or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one, and he will justify the circumcised, now that's the Jews, justify the circumcised on the ground of their faith, and the uncircumcised through their faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Now, this is an interesting point here because we know that in Christ, and I'll talk about this in a later session, we know that in Christ he came to set us free from the law. Now, if we've been set free from the law, if we're no longer under the law and the law can no longer condemn us, can we disregard it? Do we overthrow the law by this faith? No, we don't. Instead, what we are trying to do, we are trying to get to the place where we learn what is right and we do what is right because it's right. Not because there's this big stick called the law hanging over our head that if we do wrong, it's going to whack us on the back of the neck. No, on the contrary, we uphold the law because it's the right thing to do. Because what's contained in the law is all of the things that God has said, these are the things you need to do if you are going to be with me. These are the things that are right to do. Okay, so we'll move on, and I'm going to go to Romans chapter 4. I'm going to read the whole chapter of this one. This is actually probably going to be quite a long talk. So Romans 4 verse 1, what then shall we say about Abraham, for our forefather according to the flesh? Now, in Abraham, we see how this righteousness came about, this righteousness by faith. Verse 2, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, to believe is to have faith. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, to one who works, his wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as his due. And to one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. And this is what happened to Abraham. Verse 6. So also, David pronounces a blessing upon the man to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man against whom the Lord will not reckon his sin. Now, when we are reckoned righteous, this is what happens. God doesn't hold our sins against us. Our sins are covered. They're gone. Our iniquities are forgiven. And he won't reckon our sin to us, because every time a person in this world, you know, as they live, every time they commit a sin, they break the laws of God or whatever, that gets reckoned against them, and it adds to the pile of sins that that, you know, basically adds up in their life. But in the case of those who he reckons righteous, he says, no, going to forget all about those sins, and any others that come in the future, they're going to be gone too. And that's what David is saying here. He says, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man against whom the Lord will not reckon his sin. Verse 9, is this blessing pronounced only upon the circumcised or also upon the uncircumcised? So is it only Jews, or is it, you know, also for the Gentiles? We say that faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it reckoned to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received circumcision as a sign or seal of the righteousness which he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, and who thus have righteousness reckoned to them, and likewise the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but also follow the example of the faith which our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So here we see he is the father of all who have faith. God set it up so that we could all, regardless of whether Jew or Gentiles, regardless of our race, our colour of our skin, any of those things, regardless of everything, we all have the same access to this righteousness by faith as one another. And as we go on, verse 13, the promise to Abraham and his descendants that they should inherit the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, this is quite important. I'll just stop there for a moment, because we see that there were all of these conditions that should have prevented Sarah and Abraham from having a child. She was about 90 years old. Well, as it says, he was about 100 years old and she was about 90 years old when she conceived. She was well past menopause. She had some physical condition that prevented her from falling pregnant, because she'd never fallen pregnant prior to this. And so it was considered impossible, based on her age, menopausal situation, her physical condition, it was considered impossible that she could conceive a child. And yet Abraham believed. He was of the opinion, he said, well, God said it's going to happen, so it's going to happen. And we need to be in that same place. And that was why his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness, because he believed in the impossible that man can't do, but God can do. Now, in verse 23, it's very interesting, these last three verses of Romans chapter 4, because it says in verse 23, but the words it was reckoned to him were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him that raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was put to death for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Now, this is interesting because there are two conditions there that he speaks about in that last verse. He was put to death for our trespasses. He became the perfect sacrifice for our sins, which is what trespasses are. He died to take away our sins. Just as under the Jewish law, they had all the sacrifices to atone for sins and so on and so forth, Jesus became the perfect sacrifice for sins. But to die is not an impossible thing. I mean, let's face it, everyone who has ever lived and died has died. And everyone is here today. You know, if the world lasts another 150 years, everyone who is here today will be dead. It's not hard to die. People die. So that wasn't the impossible thing that we needed to believe, which is why he says in verse 25 that Jesus was put to death for our trespasses. But it goes on and says, and raised for our justification. Now, justification is to be made righteous. And it says, when we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, he reckons us as righteous. Now, to raise someone from the dead, as far as man is concerned, is impossible. It's not possible. What man can raise a person from the dead? When you're dead, you're gone. That's it. End of story, game over, whatever you want to call it, it is finished. But we are asked to believe that God can do the impossible, just as Abraham was. In our case, we're told to believe that he raised Jesus from the dead, which from a man's perspective is impossible. But when we believe that, then he says, I will reckon you righteous when you believe that I have raised Jesus from the dead, that I have done the impossible. And that's basically what he's asked us to believe as Christians, so that we can receive this free gift of righteousness by faith. If we go over now into the next scripture, which is in Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 5 to 14, we see this said, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So what we see here is an interesting thing. We receive the Holy Spirit. That didn't happen except in a few very unique or special cases prior to Jesus coming, prior to the death of Jesus. Because the new covenant, which is the covenant where we receive the Holy Spirit, didn't come into effect until Jesus died. His death was the point at which the new covenant began. Prior to that, it was all old covenant. So he says here, and part of the new covenant, one of the major parts of the new covenant is for us to receive the Holy Spirit. So he says there in verse 5 of Galatians 3, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and work miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Well, it's obviously not by works of the law, otherwise it would have happened to all of those Israelites prior to Jesus, who had faith. And there were many, many people who had faith, many, many people who kept the law and who followed what Moses had taught, but they did not receive the Holy Spirit. Apart from a few prophets, that was pretty much it. Verse 6, it says, thus Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So you see that it is men of faith who were the sons of Abraham, which is what we just read back in Romans chapter 4. And the scripture, verse 8, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are men of faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. So there is a curse. For those who want to try and find righteousness under the law, there is a curse that goes along with it that says, if you're going to do them, you're going to do all of them. You can't just pick and choose which ones you want to follow. You're going to have to do the lot. And he's saying, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. So if you miss out on one point of the law, and you've got to remember there's over 650 laws in the Old Testament, you miss one, then you're a lawbreaker. Now that's a problem for anyone who's trying to keep the law. But in Christ, we've been set free from law, and I'm going to come back to that one another time. Verse 11, though, says, now it is evident that no man is justified before God by the law, for he who through faith is righteous shall live. But the law does not rest on faith, for he who does them shall live by them. So here we see, it's not about the law, it's about faith. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree. Now when Christ was nailed up, one of the curses that existed under the law was this one, where it says, cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree. So when he died in the manner that he died, and he had to be put to death in that manner, he had to be nailed up on something made of wood because it had to be hanging from a tree. And so when he did that, he took that curse, even though he didn't deserve it, just as he didn't deserve death for breaking any law because he didn't deserve it, because he was perfect. But he took that, and he took that curse, and he took all of the curses of the law with that, so that we would not be under that curse, or under any curse. Curse of everyone who hangs on a tree. And I finish it off in verse 14, it says, that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that's what he's done. Now, continuing on, in Galatians chapter 5, and this is how important it is, and it's very important and about this whole aspect of freedom that we have. And we see this in the first few verses of Galatians chapter 5, and I'm just going to read down from verse 1 down to 6. It says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Now, that's interesting. Why did Christ set us free? He set us free so that we can truly be free. He set us free so that we can be free. And he goes on, stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now, what's he talking about? He goes on in verse 2. What's this slavery that he's talking about? In verse 2, he says, now I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is bound to keep the whole law. Now, this is what we're talking about before. You are bound under the law if you accept any of the laws, because Jesus set you free from the law. And he goes so far as to say in verse 4, and this is probably one of the most powerful statements in the Bible, where he says, you are severed from Christ, you who will be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. If you're trying to be righteous by keeping the laws, you know, fasting, tithing, and all the rest of them. If you're trying to be righteous that way, then you are severed, that is, you're cut off from Christ. Cut off from Christ if you're trying to keep the law. And it says, you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. I mean, we talk about, as Christians, we talk about the grace of God all the time, but if you're trying to be justified, if you're trying to be righteous under the law, you've fallen away from God's grace. You're no longer in his grace. Now, I don't think there's any Christian that wants to be in that place. And that's why this verse 4 is really, really important, because he tells us that if you're trying to be justified or trying to be righteous, made righteous, by keeping the law, you've fallen away from grace. You've fallen away from God's grace. It goes on in verse 5, for through the Spirit, by faith, we wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith working through love. So it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised, you know, which was, you know, speaking especially to the Jews, where circumcision actually was part of the rituals of the law, or whether you're an uncircumcised Gentile, makes no difference. It's not of any avail. It does not give you any advantage one way or the other. What is important is faith working through love, and that's the love of God. So coming back, the three key points that I mentioned right up at the start were that we cannot do anything to receive this righteousness. And this especially includes keeping the law. We can't, because it is the free gift from God. It is the free gift from God. We can't do anything. We can't take it. We can't work for it. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. We can't do anything. We can't keep the law for it. All we can do is accept it. When we have faith, when we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, we receive his righteousness. And that was the second point. Righteousness is a free gift from God to everyone who believes that God raised Jesus from the dead. Confess that he is Lord, believe that he raised Jesus from the dead in your heart, and you receive this free gift of righteousness. And the other thing is, we don't have to wait years and years and years and years and years. It's not like you've got to make yourself perfect before you get the free gift of righteousness. We receive this free gift of righteousness as soon as we believe. If a person becomes a Christian today, they've been in the world and they've done all the rotten things in the world and they've said, I need a saviour, and they come to Jesus. And if they accept Jesus, you are my Lord, and they believe that God raised him from the dead, that is when they receive the free gift of righteousness. That's when they receive it, on the basis of their faith. You look at the thief who was put to death with Jesus when he died. This thief who said to the other thief, he said, we're getting what we deserve, but Jesus here, he didn't deserve any of this. And he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus accepted him because he had faith and because he believed that Jesus was Lord, because he said to him, Lord, accept me, you know, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So he's done the two things for salvation. He accepted Jesus as Lord, and he said that out loud, and he believed that Jesus was the Lord. And he believed that he would go into the kingdom. He believed that Jesus was going to the kingdom. He's saying, Lord, take me with you. And of course, Jesus said, truly I say to you, this very day you'll be with me in paradise. So those are the three key points. Righteousness by faith, extremely important. There is more that can be said about this. But over the next few talks, I'm going to be talking about freedom in general, the overall freedom that we receive through Jesus Christ. I'm going to be talking about freedom from law. I'm going to be talking about freedom from sin. And I'm also going to be talking about how we are able to overcome the flesh through these other freedoms that he gives us, because he gives us also freedom from the passions, lusts, and desires of the flesh. So stay with me. I hope you'll listen to the next talks, and I hope you enjoyed this one. And right now I have to go. This is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast, hoping you have a blessed week ahead and that you will join me again next week. Goodbye. God bless you.